Shalom. It's great to see you today, and you all came out in this weather. There's a lot of cynicism about life. People look to the future pessimistically, generally today, because they lack the knowledge of God who has promised us a bright future. God gave Israel a prophetic calendar of seven prophetic holy days. And we've just gone through three of them. The Feast of Trumpets, which calls Israel to repentance. The Day of Atonement, in which is a prophecy that they will come when our great high priest, according to the word of God, who is after the order of Melchizedek, King of Righteousness, will make an atonement for Israel, and all Israel that remain at that time of his return shall be saved. And then we have gone through the festival of the tabernacles. That's also a prophetic feast, and it represents the time when the King Messiah will return. He'll establish his kingdom in Jerusalem over the whole world. It will be a time of great joy because there'll be no disease, no poverty, no hunger. It will be a time of rejoicing. And this is what was promised in the book of Deuteronomy 16:15. You shall hold a festival for the Lord your God 7 days in the place that the Lord will choose, for the Lord your God will bless all your crops and all your undertakings, and you shall have nothing but joy. I want to emphasize a ceremony that took place during the Festival of Tabernacles. Every day for 7 days, the high priest and the group would go down to the pool of Siloam, and the high priest with a golden pitcher would draw water into the pitcher, and he would take it back to the city of Jerusalem, or back to the water gate, and he'd enter the water gate, there'd be sound of trumpets, and he would go into the temple, and every day of that festival, he would pour that water on the sacrifice on the altar of God. This feast has some messianic meaning. I'd like to read to you from Yeshua's word in John 7:37-40. On the last day, that great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said," referring to the Old Testament, the Tanakh, "out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." After his death, after his resurrection, his ascension, where the glory that he had with the Father in eternity was restored to him, and the glory of his grace was certainly added. And on the day of Pentecost, another feast of the holy day, a holy day of the calendar of Israel, was when the Holy Spirit came. So the water of life, the living water, is a symbol of the Spirit of life. And I have 3 points I want to emphasize in this message that could be helpful to us. First, we all have an inborn thirst for the water of life, for the Spirit of life. Secondly, there is only one source for this water of life, for the Spirit of life. We have a thirst, but there is a source, but there's only one source. And thirdly, after we drink of the water of life, we then can become channels of the water of life, of the spirit of life. So first I want to point out that we all have a thirst for the spirit of life. We were created for God. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said. This life is something we lust, desire sincerely. Yeshua said in verse 37, on the last day, that great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, Yeshua stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts. So the first qualification to receive the water of life is to be aware of the thirst that we have for God. Everyone has a thirst for something more than what this life can afford. Some try to satisfy that thirst with drugs and alcohol. Some try to satisfy that thirst with a life of immorality. And some try to satisfy that thirst, that deep innate thirst, with success, material possessions. King Solomon, who was certainly very successful as a king, one of the great kings of Israel, wrote of his lifelong search to satisfy his inner thirst, but to no avail. I want you to listen to his own confession in Ecclesiastes 2:11. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. See, Solomon made a serious mistake. He didn't follow the example of his father, King David. King David knew how to satisfy that thirst that he had, and he didn't follow him. Our inborn thirst is for God. We were created for God. Listen to Psalm 63, verse 1, as David cried out, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. There was a man by the name of St. Augustine who wrote his Confessions. And in it, he said, God, you made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. That's what we thirst for. Now, that doesn't mean we all understand our thirst, but the only way we can have that thirst quenched and satisfied is by finding God. Now, the second point that I want to bring out is there is only one source for that water of life, the spirit of life. And religion is not the source for the water of life. The children of Israel were very religious. Unfortunately, they always worshipped other gods, false gods, and they worshipped in their own way. Humanity, mankind, is very clever at creating religion, all kinds of religions. And they all demand that we somehow work our way into righteousness, to no avail. Listen to what God has to say about these religions that are man-made. In Jeremiah 2, verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. Two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. See, there was a personal relationship that God wanted with Israel. And they've forsaken me, God said. I'm the fountain of living waters. I'm the fountain of the water of life. And they have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that cannot hold water. This is referring to man-made religions, broken cisterns that do not hold the spirit of life. I don't want to promote another religion. In fact, It's interesting, the Lord Jesus came not to promote a new innovative religion. It was the fulfillment of what the prophets spoke about. They were looking to God, the God of Israel. So I want to more or less emphasize a personal relationship with God. A relationship that is based on love, based on truth, and a relationship of fellowship with God. This is the wonderful thing that I want to emphasize. Now, there's something wrong when people forsake the living God with their ability to perceive the truth. We're told in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 15, "But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is victory. There is liberty, a liberation. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So when we come to the fountain, we come to Yeshua. He said, "Come to me, and you will and drink." Then this Spirit liberates us from blindness so we can see the truth of the gospel. Yeshua is the only source of the water of life. I want to refer to our text in verse 37. "On the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, on that great day, Yeshua stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink.' But he spoke concerning the Spirit of God, whom those believing in him would receive." And on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God came within the believers. So the first qualification to drink of the water of life is to recognize your thirst for God. The second qualification is to come to Yeshua and to drink the water of life. Remember what Yeshua said to the Samaritan woman in John 4:10. Yeshua said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you the water of life." He would have given you living water, speaking of the Spirit of God. Now, if you know who Jesus is, the Messiah, the Son of God, and if you know that the water of life is his free gift, all you have to do is ask him, and he'll give you the water of life. So simple. He said, if you knew the gift of God, you can't earn it. There's not a charge to it on your behalf. Just ask him, and he'll give you the water of life, the Spirit of life. Now, the diagnostic question I like to ask people to introduce the gospel to them is, let me ask you this. If you were to die tonight, God forbid, but say you were to die tonight, are you absolutely certain that you'd go to heaven? Without a question. Now, I have found that religious people would often reply, "No, I can't possibly know until after I die, until the judgment day, because they depend on their works and they can't be sure." But the Spirit of God assures us of eternal life. When I was 14 years old, I accepted Yeshua. And I received the joy of knowing that my sins were forgiven. I know I told you this experience. It's very real to me. couple of days after. Remember, I came from a Jewish background. My father was a secular Jew. We didn't have any great religious training. And so I had a lot of ignorance. But I was walking on Lafayette Avenue in Brooklyn, past the post office, when I had what was the nearest to a vision I've ever had. I could just visualize the Holy Spirit coming from heaven and saying to me, I am the Holy Spirit and I've come to testify of Jesus. It was a unique experience for me. So I told my pastor, who looked at me askance with suspicion. I think he thought I was losing my mind. And he said, don't become a fanatic. Well, he didn't discourage me, because what I have discovered is that I've been able to walk with him for 68 years. But listen to what the Spirit of God does for those who he leads into salvation. In Romans 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, spirit of religion that brings bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. I love that Hebrew word, Abba. He is our Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. This is the wonderful presence of God in our life. He witnesses to us that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. It's enough to blow your mind. It's so wonderful. It's so amazing that the Spirit of God assures us that we are God's children. So the assurance only comes through the Spirit of God, who, by the way, was the one who brought you conviction, enlightenment, faith, and brought you into the family of God. That same Spirit of God assures us that we are his children. Now, Jesus tells us how we can come in to this relationship. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I love that, because only Jesus ever spoke like that when he was introducing an absolute truth. Actually, it's amen, amen, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. He came representing the Heavenly Father. He didn't come in his own name. He came in the name of the God of Israel, his Heavenly Father. And if we believe in the Father, we'll believe in the Son. And he says that whoever believes in the one that sent Jesus has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Right now, if you have come to him, you have already passed from death unto life. You're not going to stand before judgment. You're not going to be judged for your sins. Jesus took care of that on the cross. You're free. You're forgiven. You're cleansed. Now, I know we have to deal with it day by day, but God has provided that atonement for us. He came to unite us with his Father. Listen to a conversation between Philip, one of his disciples, and Yeshua in John 14, verse 8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Yeshua said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? He said, he's the exact image of the Father. If you want to know what the Father is like, look at Jesus. You look into the heart of Jesus, you'll see the heart of the Father. In fact, he said, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. He said, the work I'm doing, the work to bring redemption, the work of healing and all the miracles he did, he said, the Father, the God of Israel, he is working through me. And so he came to bring us to the Father. And in fact, he that honoreth the Son will honor the Father. This is the wonderful unity of God. It is through the Spirit of life that unites us to the Father and the Son. Now, when does the spiritual life begin? Do we have to wait until after death to discover if we have life? No, this new life begins the moment we come to the Lord. I've had the privilege of witnessing the miracle of new life in many people. I remember one young woman who had just graduated university, Karen Unsworth, came to see me, and she was troubled because her mother had become a believer and it caused dissension in the family. And she came to me and she said, I'm an agnostic. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. If God exists, he'd be unknowable. And she said, for a number of years, I've read all the books on God and agnosticism, and I have notebooks where I've written down all these references about God not being knowable. And one day she came to me and she said, you know, I had a dream. And in this dream, I had become a believer in Jesus. And I experienced in the dream an indescribable joy. I never experienced that before. I said to her, well, Karen, your subconscious is smarter than your conscious. And I said, I believe the Spirit of God is working with you. And when I sense that, I know God was going to do something. So I said, someday when you're ready to accept the Lord, I don't care the time of day or night, give me a call and we'll pray together. Well, she told me later that she was moving to another city, another state, to take a job as a city planner. And so she left. Some months later, I got a call at 1 o'clock in the morning, woke me up out of a sound sleep. And this lady with a soft voice said to me, I'm ready. I said, wait a minute. I think you have the wrong number. She said, no, I'm ready. I said, who are you? Karen Unsworth. So I said, you're ready for what? To receive Jesus. So we prayed on the phone. She accepted the Lord. And when she came back to live in Vermont, where we were at town, I asked her, what happened? She said, well, I had a roommate that went to a revival meeting, and she accepted Jesus and dragged me there. And I knew that this must be true. I came back to my apartment. I took out all my notebooks. I read all the references that prove that God is unknowable, but it didn't mean anything to me. She suddenly became a woman of great wisdom and understanding. Her eyes had been opened, and even to this day, she is a successful businesswoman, but she also is a witness of the grace of God. I want you to know that this life comes to us from God through Jesus. He is the source of the water of life, the Spirit of life. Not religion, but Jesus. And this life is secure in Jesus. Listen to the word of God in 1 John 5:11, 12. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. He's given it to us. In other words, he gave eternal life to me in 1943. And his life is in his Son. He who has the Son, present tense, has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So the source of the Spirit of life is Yeshua. Thirdly, we can become channels of the water of life. We are blessed to be a blessing. God said to Abraham, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. So we're blessed to be a blessing. The water of life flows from Yeshua through those who believe in him. Think of it. I believe, even as I speak, that the Spirit of God is working. And here's what Jesus said. Look at our text in John 7:38. Yeshua said, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believe in him would receive. We receive the Spirit of God when we receive the Lord Jesus. But it's not just to be hoarded by ourselves. The Spirit of God wants us to open up, be a channel for him. There's a unity of truth throughout the entire scriptures. Coming from a Jewish background, I always like to go back to the Tanakh and say, listen, is this something taught by our prophets or by Moses? Listen to Isaiah 12, verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. The Hebrew name Yeshua is the Hebrew word for salvation. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Yahweh is my strength and my song. Oh, I wish I could sing. I really do. I want to sing. I try to, but I'm not very good at it. I remember as a young Christian, I would sing loud in the church, and one day the pastor came down from the platform, came over to me, and said, Albert, do you have to sing so loud? I must have been off key. But you know, from then on, I found it hard to sing. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a new voice. And I'm going to sing. I wish I could sing. I love to sing. But I do it in my heart. Now, he also has become my salvation. I'm reading the scripture. My Yeshua. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of Yeshua, out of the wells of salvation. Now notice, every word is important in scripture. The word well is in the plural. That is, he makes us wells of the living water. All through history, there have been false prophets, false apostles, false teachers. The apostle Peter referred to them as wells without water. They lacked the water of life. They might be religious, they might be teachers, but without the water of life, they don't understand scriptures, and they can't share the Spirit of God. But we who have come to Yeshua have been made symbolically into one of his wells of living water to overflow, to be a blessing. You know, this is a truth that is amazing to me, because we are such imperfect channels. And yet, he invests within us who are believers the Spirit of life. And I've noticed this as a pastor, that there are those who seem to have an anointing of the Spirit. When I was a pastor in Vermont, I decided I'd like to hold a week of evangelistic meetings. So I went to my board of men. They were Vermonters, not very aggressive in reaching out for the Lord. And I said, I want to engage an evangelist to hold a week of meetings. They said it'd be a waste of time. We're Vermonters. And Vermont was a graveyard of evangelicalism. And they said, nobody's going to respond. But to prove that I was wrong, they said, go ahead and hire someone, and we'll show you that an evangelist here can can't do the job that you think he can do. So I heard of a sudden evangelist. I didn't know him, but I invited him. And at first, I was quite embarrassed because he insisted on singing solos, not in key. And he wanted to influence the children, so he had magic tricks that didn't always work out. And when he preached sometime, he didn't always make sense. So I was ready to call it off. But then he gave an invitation, and people came down to the altar, accepted the Lord. That week, 125 people accepted Jesus, and their lives were transformed because God overruled his imperfections. He was a well of the living water. And whenever I would hire staff as a pastor, I want to know, what anointing do you have? What ministry do you have? Does the Holy Spirit work through you? Not just to have another person, but to have one that is a channel of the living God. And this is a wonderful revelation to me. I would have given up the ministry long ago, because if I look at myself and I realize all the imperfections, I would say, what's the use? What's the use? Who's going to listen to me? But when I realize that God will honor his word and that I could preach his word, and I know the Holy Spirit works. You know too. I sense if you listen, you'll hear not Al Renji, but you'll hear a small, soft voice comforting your heart. I know that. Now you say, how could you know it? Well, I've been a believer for 68 years. When I first started in the ministry, I had no idea of what my gifts were or what I was going to do. But now I know by the grace of God, not because I'm perfect or I'm brilliant or intellectual, but the Spirit of God is not only in me, he is in all believers. How wonderful. What amazes me is the long suffering and kindness of the Holy Spirit that he would put up with us. Now in closing, people like that when a preacher says in closing, but it doesn't always mean anything, you know. In closing, let me ask you, are you thirsty for God? Listen to the promise of God to Israel through our Jewish prophet in Isaiah 44:3. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. There are three promises here. If you're thirsty for God, he will pour the water of life on you and through you. He will pour water on dry ground. And you know, humanity is dry ground. And he promised that through us, he will pour his spirit upon dry ground. I love the third promise, is that God will bless our descendants by pouring his spirit of life on them through you. I want to encourage you. I don't care what your vocation is. If you know the Lord Jesus, you are a well of living water. Acknowledge the Spirit of God in your life. And you have the Spirit of life in you that wants to work through you in whatever way he wills. The thing that really has excited me is what the Spirit has done in my heart concerning Yeshua. I have a testimony that comes from the lyrics of a song. I can't sing it, so I'll just tell you about it. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be a king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything the world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. This is something which comes through the Spirit of God to change our hearts. So if you're thirsty for life, for true life, the life of God, then come to Jesus. Put your trust in him and taste and see that the Lord is good. And I know that God can make a difference in your life and through your life because he's faithful. Let us pray. Well, Lord, I pray that you'll take these words that we've spoken and anoint them. Let them be like flames of fire that will penetrate the hearts of the listeners and that will create a thirst for you and give faith so that people will believe that Yeshua is who he says he is. He is the true Son of God, the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of the world. And Lord, even now, move among us and make yourself known. Give us assurance, give us comfort, and may we know that we are the children of God. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.